to be together in his house one more time. Thankful for your prayers and appreciate a continued interest in your prayers. I'd like to speak to you for a few moments this morning about the praise of God. Whether you've considered it or not, always think about that the bottom line as far as creation is concerned can be summed up in the word praise. All that God has created, all that he might create, because God is omnipotent, his ways are as far above our ways as the heavens are above the earth. And if we truly believe that he's omnipotent, omniscient, and omnipresent, and we're just who we are, we're certainly not omni-anything, but we can't imagine all that God is and all that he might create, has created, or may yet create. But we can rest assured that in all of that, that the bottom line is going to be for his praise, because he's worthy of it. The Bible tells us he's worthy of it. We sing hymns, many hymns, that exact wording is in those hymns. Worthy of praise art thou. Praise is what we're about. It should define our lives. Not just on Sunday mornings, but every day that we live. When we awake in the morning, we should pray that the Lord would put a song of praise on our lips, that he would bless us with a fountain of praise in our heart, and that he would bless our walk that day to be done in such a way that would bring forth praise to his name. The Bible is full of that concept and teaching, I believe, from the very first verse through every verse until the very last verse, that's the underlying concept, that we're here to praise God. But I might say that of all the places that we can read in God's Word, we can turn to the Psalms, and the Psalms, all 150 of them, are just rich with teachings about the praise of God. The Psalms, of course, are basically Old Testament Hebrew hymns of praise. And there have been many attempts to describe or to think about how those hymns were sung. But that's what they are, and that's what they're given for. And one thing that I always like to note in the Psalms is that the wording of the Psalms are not just words that came mostly from David and from the other men to take up space. They're words that not only can be sung in praise, they're words that can be meditated, they're words that can inspire, and there are words that countless sermons have been preached about. And that makes them very special words. so praise. And true praise of God got to come from the heart. You know, God, whenever he takes up his abode in our life, we speak of him as giving us a new heart, creating within us a right heart, and taking away the old stony heart and giving us a heart of flesh, a heart of feeling, a heart that is turned towards him. The old heart has no desire for God. In fact, God is not in his thoughts. God is not in his heart. But whenever God blesses us to be born of the Spirit of God, then we have a heart that's tendered toward, that's turned toward, that its desire, its motivation, its purpose for living is to praise God. And well, it should. Because it owes to God its very existence. It owes to God its reason for being. It owes to God everything. Everything that it is, everything that it will ever be, both here in time and certainly in eternity. And a couple of things about that. The psalmist says in Psalm 4, verse 7, that that thou hast put gladness in my heart, more than in the time that their corn and their wine increased. I'll not take the time to explain all of that, just to make the point that David said, thou hast put gladness in my heart. Praise is something that whenever we are blessed to praise God, it lifts us up. It has that quality. God blesses us that when we bless Him, we in turn are blessed. You know, one of the best, you know, if you ever feel like, and David felt like that many times, he asked a question one time of God. He said, Lord, where are you? Art thou clean, gone forever? David didn't just feel like the Lord had left him. David felt like he would never come back. Now that's a lonely feeling. In fact, that's a feeling that describes death. When our loved ones die, they are clean. From our experience here in time, they are clean, gone forever. And David said, Lord, are you dead to me? Have you left me to that extent that you will never return? Now that had to be quite a feeling. But we have the assurance and we have the teaching of God that David, feeling that way, God may have removed himself from David for a while, for whatever circumstance he was going through with, but God will never leave us clean, gone forever. And whenever He comes into our heart, He puts gladness there. If you feel sadness, it's because gladness may be overshadowed for the time being. But thankfully, gladness, whenever God does something, it's done. He does it. You know, part of the fruit of the Spirit is joy. And joy is where gladness comes from. You know, joy is an abiding thing. But gladness can be, fleeting. But God puts gladness in, that He says, in my heart. In Psalm 33, verse 21, we find David telling us this about praise. He says, for our heart shall rejoice in Him because we have trusted in His holy name. So true praise of God, remember, is an inward emotion. It comes from the heart. God has given us a heart, a feeling. He's taken up His abode through His Spirit in our heart. And that's where the fountains of love, the fountains of praise, the fountains of adoration are to come from. Which is an amazing thing because the Bible tells us in one place about the heart that it's desperately wicked. And who can know it? Of course, I personally believe He's talking about our other heart. that heart that we're born with as far as the natural man's concern. You know, that heart is in a desperate situation, and it is desperately wicked. But the heart that God gives us, He puts gladness in that heart. He puts joy in that heart. And He blesses that heart to rejoice in Him. And of course, the word rejoice means to brighten up. It means to cheer up. It means to make joyful. And rejoice, re, is before joyce. Rejoice means to have joy over and over and over and over again. You know, that's abundant joy. And that's something that we can have and that we do have in the Lord. So praise, true praise is a gladness and rejoicing in the heart. And it must come from the heart. That's got to be the fountain of it. And I think all of us can agree with the experience that many times in our life, maybe on a daily basis, that if we examine ourselves, we know that a lot of times what we say with our lips is not really the fruit of our heart. Because, you know, the tongue can be a deceptive thing. And we find ourselves in a lot of situations, don't we? That our hearts are telling us one thing, but our lips are saying something else. Well, hopefully we don't wind up that way when it comes to praise. Or maybe sometimes we do. But one thing we can rest assured, that whenever God blesses us to praise Him, to truly praise Him, it's going to come from the heart. It's going to come from that seat that God has given us as a fountain of praise. And it's going to come from that revived, regenerated, rejuvenated heart, and not that old heart of flesh and the old man of sin. And the thing about true praise is that when we're blessed to truly praise God here in time, and we are, you know, God sees to that. God blesses us. He gives us the formula, so to speak. He tells us what to do. He tells us how we should pray. He tells us how we should meditate. He tells us the form of worship. You know, God's very specific. God's jealous of His praise. That's why we need to study His Word. You know, in the Old Testament, God told the Israelites that for them to praise Him, this is what I want you to do. You know, you follow this manual. You follow this order. You do this on this day. You offer this sacrifice for this reason. You do this, you do this, you do this. And that was the way that they had to worship Him. Well, it didn't change. The principle didn't change when it came to the New Testament. Now, the form changed. You know, we don't have to do the things that they had to do in the Old Testament as far as sacrifices and so forth. Because Jesus Christ brought that to an end. Because all that was a picture pointing to Him. But Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, the Son of God, gave us the New Testament formula. He tells us how that we're to worship Him and to praise Him in the New Testament. That's why we do it the way we do it. That's why we don't have musical accompaniment, musical instruments to accompany our singing. That's why we do it the way that we do it. It's because we believe that this is the way God told us to do it. And that's one thing about praise. As I said at the beginning, God is jealous over His praise. He tells us how to do it. He tells us when to do it. He tells us why we're to do it. And He tells us where it's to come from if it's to be true praise. It's got to come from the heart. Whether our mouth, our tongue is the mouthpiece of the heart. So may when we utter praise, when we sing praise, when the preacher preaches, that he's doing it to instruct, to teach, but his ultimate goal is to praise of God. Because the bottom line is, again, and I'll close with this, that's what God created us for. To praise Him. Everything that God creates is for His praise. And you and I have, as far as we know, we may find out a whole lot of other things, and we will when we get to heaven. You and I have a unique position. We not only get to praise God here in time, but we get to praise God in eternity. The Bible talks about all of God's creation, the birds, the fishes of the sea, the trees, all of, I think we sang that hymn, you know, expresses that. They get to, you know, God created them for His praise. But if I'm not mistaken, the day is coming when all the voices, all of them, will be silenced. The earth is going to burn up and all that is therein, except us as God's children. And your voice, your tongue, your lips, your soul, your spirit, your very being will go from earthly praise to heavenly praise, to imperfect praise to perfect praise, from temporal praise to forever praise. May the Lord add His blessings is my prayer.